Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for John as he comes here today, Lord God, with a message in his heart. Lord God, I pray that your anointing, the Holy Spirit, would be upon him, that you would bring forth your word with clarity, with truth, with power. Lord God, that it would touch our hearts, that it would change our hearts, Lord God, and help us to know you in a greater way, Lord God. That is our desire, to know you, Lord God, and to know everything about you, to be able to love you more and more and more every day, Lord God. Lord, bless this message. Lord, bless John as he gives it, and each one of us as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen, Father.
You know, I went back and forth with different titles on this. I ended up with this one. Knowing God makes us the blessing. You know, and there's no magic formula to becoming the blessing. But one thing is certain, our personal, intimate relationship with God is essential and a major factor in our success as a Christian. We should find that knowing God leads us into an exciting and rewarding life. You know, I had once when I was a young boy, you know, we talk about excitement, you know. Came from a very poor family. I've told you guys this before. We didn't have much ever. And matter of fact, the Christmases that we had, I remember my aunts and uncles would give us the gifts because if they didn't, we wouldn't have any. And as I grew up and I got a job and I started to work and make money, and my older brother was making money, him and I got together and we decided to buy a Christmas gift for my mother. Now know that she never got any gifts because nobody else got gifts from the family except from my relatives. It was the first time that we had bought a gift and we didn't tell her, and we put it under the tree, and to be honest, it was a very simple gift. It was pots and pans. But I just remember how excited I was that she was going to open this gift that she didn't know she was getting. And the fact is that when she opened it, she cried. And that even made me more blessed that I was able to bless her with that little token because it's something that she had never received before. And that's that kind of excitement. And the reason I share that story is that kind of excitement should be in each and every one of us, bringing the gospel to people around us. When we know the Lord and we are blessed by what he has, we take our eyes off of ourselves and we become the blessing. Can you look at yourself as a blessing? Because the only way you're really going to understand how to become a blessing is to daily spend time with the Lord and in his word. Amen? You have to really grasp what it means to get closer to God, so that you can get excited about what he's going to do in your life. Just like that child that I was excited about giving that gift to my mother, we need to be excited about bringing the word of God that changes a life. I remember Bobby was giving the message, sharing the message on Wednesday. And one of the things that he was talking about was a gentleman that came back into his life that he had known years ago that he worked with, I think, and he came back into his life, and he came up to Bobby and he says, you know, I'm a Christian because of you. What kind of a blessing is that to hear from somebody if you're following the Lord and you know? And see, the Lord sent him back to bless him, and he will send people back to bless you. Amen. All God wants is for us to bring him to the lost. And you know, it's funny because when you look at Paul, Paul wasn't a gifted speaker. Matter of fact, he talks about it himself, and everybody, and he's talking about how everybody was talking about the fact that he wasn't a gifted speaker. But he brought, through his excitement to know God more, he brought us the Bible sections that he wrote, which bless us so that we can be a blessing. What would we do if Paul hadn't written those books that he did, the clarity that he brought to us about what it meant to really know God? He enjoyed the blessing of knowing God, and his encounter was the starting point for him, but his pressing in to understand what God wanted from him made him the blessing that we received through Scripture. Not only that, it also clarified who Jesus was for us too. Amen. Here are a few of the basic benefits or blessings of knowing God. And a lot of these, you know, these aren't all of them. I'm just picking, I'm even not even going to talk about all of the ones that I have here. But compassion, grace, mercy, peace, joy, hope, blessing, of course, comfort, truth, which incorporates clarity and wisdom, power, which is strength and courage. We need to use these blessings to reach the lost. Knowing God allows us to share his compassion, mercy, and grace. You know, these three blessings kind of go hand in hand. They are traits that every Christian, and I'm going to say this, especially for all of those of you who are on Facebook, needs to improve upon. And I'm not saying that you're doing something wrong on Facebook, but I'm just saying that if you think you need to admonish all the sin in the world publicly, I have a question to ask you. How is that working for us? You know? The world is defending the sins they know they are committing. After all, as a matter of fact, Pastor John was speaking all these times he's speaking. He said, "You're getting into my message. You're getting into my message." But as we have just witnessed at the passing of a recent law to allow the sin that they want to commit. And the world has been in that bent from the beginning of time. Now, I'm not discounting any evangelistic work, and I don't believe it was the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe it was the Holy Spirit intent to admonish the world's sin on the internet or publicly. You know, there are times when we can do that. I'm not saying that, you know, evangelists sometimes will preach in the street and they will speak the word. But, you know, the way to convert, usually what happens is if I'm not saying you don't defend your righteous perspective, okay? Or use Scripture. I'm saying that the way we engage can make a difference in someone accepting the truth or rejecting it. Amen? All of what we have been given, the tool of the Word, has been given to us as a method, as something that we can go out there and reach the lost. But it's our conversation with individuals. Publicly, if you go into let me just not get ahead of myself here, but one of the things that kind of impressed me was Pastor Don's debate with Islam. I don't know how many of you went, but I was there, and I was impressed with the information he presented it and the way he presented it. It wasn't an argument. It was truth. It was factual. And matter of fact, I think the biggest problem that I think it was an imam that was there, I don't know. But he was there to defend the Islam side. Every time he came back, the only thing he could say over and over again by repeating that Jesus was a man and he could not be God. Jesus is a man, he can't be God. Jesus, over and over again. And I felt that Pastor Don was effective in such a way that this guy thought he could, the only thing he could differentiate was the fact that they stood on the fact that Jesus was a man. Well, as Christians, we know he was a man, right? You're not telling us anything we don't know. The fact is that when you look at it, Jesus Christ said, "I am the only way." And if you don't, you can say he's a prophet, but if you don't believe in the words that he spoke, then there's something that you're trying to hide and cover up. And so I just was impressed by that. And I think that that's kind of the thing, that he was prepared to give that a light confrontation because he was opposed to what Islam stood for, but he really just spoke what he knew Scripture gave him. And sometimes, you know, it's really just that basic. Sometimes it's just the basic that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You know, when we talk about when we argue with someone, what are we defending? The thing is, do we need to defend God? Absolutely not. God needs no defense. I think it would be, this is not a great example, but I think it would be like saying a tank needs to be defended from an ant. You know, can you imagine? You know, the thing that we really are defending the truth and the hope that is within us. And we are defending that not just for us, but we're defending it for every Christian that is out there who is trying to really understand what God is about. You know, Islam thinks that they've got it right. Or, by the way, I mentioned before that the world is defending the truth in their perspective. They think they've got the truth. Islam thinks they've got the truth. And we believe we've got it. Well, unfortunately for them, we do have it. But, you know, it's just a matter of us conveying it so that they can receive it. Actually, it's us getting out of the way so the Holy Spirit can deliver the message. So anyway, have you ever been in an argument where everybody's got it right? Have you ever been in any argument? Usually an argument means that you think you're right and they think they're right. If everyone's right, who can be wrong? The key thing here is that no one ever wins an argument. I've said this before, all you end up really doing is building a bigger wall. Until you can actually give them something that they can... I was in a discussion with my son, as a matter of fact. And him and I have been in discussions. I've been trying to get him to move into serving God again. But, you know, there's this liberal viewpoint, I think, that he has kind of picked up. And he was glad that this law passed. And I, you know, and so, you know, it's one sin just like any other sin, to be honest with you. It's just that now that we've given credence to it, now it's going to confuse, my opinion, the thing that saddens me is it's going to confuse our children. It's going to confuse future generations. And so those are the things. So it makes it even tougher on you as parents, Christian parents, that now you are going to have to overcome the onslaught of this is right. And, you know, we want to empathize with people. You know, these people, they if you see them on TV, it's all kind of covered. It's all empathy. And I'm not trying to offend anybody here. Be honest with you, to me it doesn't matter. Everybody who needs to learn about Christ and sin needs to be covered and blessed by us. That's the key issue. But the purpose of what we do is to really not argue the point, because that doesn't win anything. If you're arguing against somebody that they're pro and we're against, it doesn't win anything. You know, the thing is that they have to understand the purity of the love of God and his whole purpose for mankind. So that comes from a whole different perspective. When we come from a position of compassion, mercy, and grace, realizing that they don't understand because they do not know God, then our purpose in the discussion should change immediately. Right? If we are in the Spirit, we should be prepared to either help them understand our experiences with God or what changes us. And if not, we can't maintain control of our emotions, move on to another topic that we're not arguing about. Because, again, it's important that we help people understand, and that's basically where I went with my son. I said, listen, I don't necessarily agree with this, but I can't, you know, they have just as many rights as I do in this world. We can't discriminate against them because of whatever. We don't discriminate against anybody else. Why should we discriminate against them? But so the issue is that eternity is the point that we're in discussion. Everlasting life. We better make sure, or whoever wants to follow that path, better make sure that everlasting life is not in jeopardy because you have an opinion about this that says it's this is what I want to do. In 1 Peter 3, 15-16, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But to do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. What does it say here? Give reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. If you get angry about something, it's going to be a challenge for you to have that gentleness and respect. You know, it's not the argument that we want. It's the conversion. Knowing God reveals truth, which brings confidence, and with confidence we receive peace. I'm so confident that God is on the throne that I can have peace through all the folly of the world. Whatever decisions are made out there doesn't change the position of God at all. May change the position of our laws, but it does not change what God is and who He is. Do the antics of the world frustrate me? Yes, Pastor John was saying that, but for a moment. But then I recognize that, as you stated, God is in control. And I have nothing to fear. And peace returns to me. And with that peace, I can move on to do God's work, not trying to fight against what the world has done. Because I tell you what, we're not going to save the world in one sermon. We're going to save it one person at a time. And the Holy Spirit will multiply that as many times as what do you say? 10 will bring 1,000, 10,000? I can't remember what it was. You know? But we can't live by the law without mercy and grace. How can we expect the world to? We have to bring that mercy and grace to them. We have to let them know that we care about them. You know, if we're just gonna point the finger and tell them, hey, you're a sinner, they're just gonna point right back at us. I'm gonna insult you, you insult me. We have an insulting match, right? You're a sinner. You're going to burn in hell. We're all sinners, potentially. In 1 Corinthians 9:20, it says, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Those don't know God. The world does not know God, so they don't know sin. When we call them sinners and point out their sin they are committing against God, you know, I just mentioned we insult them, and it gets going back and forth. But we were like them to a degree. Some of us may still be. We all have our hidden secrets, right? We all have the things that God is pressing in to change in our life. Whether it be unforgiveness, whatever it is, you know, God is working, and it's always a step where you get a breakthrough, and then you bump up against another wall, and you say, oh God, do I have to go through this again? You know, yes, we have to go through all the things that separate us from God. It's every one step at a time, and every victory gives us more peace. You know, many of us are here because it was the right time with the right person. Can you be the right person for the right time for someone else? Can you have the excitement in your walk with God that you can actually bring something to them that the Holy Spirit is showing you that will change a life? Can we be that blessing? Can we receive the excitement and the gladness that's in our heart when somebody accepts the Lord? Can we lay down the fear of talking to somebody? Can we lay down the fear of not knowing Scripture? All of those things we need to be able to overcome so that we can be like Paul. And it says in Ephesians 1:17, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You know, he longed for everybody to know God. If it weren't, and you know, you talk about this man who couldn't speak, but he had the great ability to build churches. He went around that whole area and all the country surrounding and built many churches just based on Christ crucified and risen from the dead. A simple message. And that's all that we need. It's a simple message. We just need to love God enough and have a relationship with him that's so close that when we open our mouths, the Holy Spirit takes over. Because if you try to do it, it will be a failure. It needs to be God's Spirit in you. And that's only by a closer relationship. Can you get excited about that? Can you change your life and spend some time with God so that every day becomes an excitement? You should be excited to move into somebody else's life and help them receive the blessing in eternity that you have received. I mean, knowing that I've got eternity is all that I should need. And that relationship with God provides that understanding, gives me the faith to move in a powerful way. You know, one of the things that Paul had was the determination and attitude to carry forth with all of the challenges that he had. As the Christians today, we don't struggle much to preach the word. Now, I can't say that won't change. You know, we could be accused of hate talk, whatever it is. You can do just about anything now in the government and make it a law. So, you know, we might be the persecuted somewhere down the road. But then can you stand in that persecution, whatever it is? We're being persecuted now. Can you stand in the persecution? Open your mouth. Take the persecution because you know that the blessing that you have is greater than the persecution you receive. That's what Paul did. Paul went to jail how many times? He was almost killed in a shipwreck, but God told him he would be spared. You know, all of those things Paul was blessed with because he served God wholeheartedly. And God knew that Paul would be the man that he needed. Because Paul was committed to killing Jesus' followers before, based on what he understood to be the truth. But when he found the truth, when he was converted, he was a powerful man of God. And he pressed in to know him more. And that's our job, so that we can be blessing. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 13, it says, what have we received? What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. What is one of the realities that we many times overlook? Sometimes we overlook the fact that we can do nothing effectively without the Holy Spirit. I mentioned earlier, if you're trying to do something in your flesh, it is going to fail. It will not be effective because the Holy Spirit has to come through and touch the soul of the person you're speaking to. And it could be, if you're listening to the Spirit will work in that individual. You're going to deliver exactly. It could be God loves you. It could be, you know, Jesus died for you. You know, I'm here for you. Whatever it may be. Whatever opens up their heart to receive, because life has hardened the hearts of so many people that it's very difficult for them to open up to anybody. So it's important that as Christians we be consistent. It's important that if you're going to be a blessing, that you be consistent in your love for that individual, because when they turn on you, you have to be able to still push the love back. And that's a process of that relationship with God that allows you to stand in a storm. It's a process that allows you to stand under attack. It's a process that allows you to love the people who come against you because of your stance on truth. Because that's what we bring, is truth. The thing is, one thing probably we should check in ourselves is how do we know when we're not into the Spirit, when the Spirit's not there? Well, I think, you know, just a few things that I know that I've come across is I get angry. I lose my concentration on what I'm trying to say because I'm trying to think it through. It's not flowing. I embellish. I try to make it, the Spirit's not giving it to me, so I embellish the Word of God. You know, it all sounds good, right? It all sounds scriptural because I'm giving Him Scripture, but I embellish it even more. And manipulative prayer. As a matter of fact, I know that, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't think we should, I just mention this because I know that I've done it. So I admit my sin. In the past, I overheard something that somebody had said. And then I go to somebody and pray like I'm praying prophetically. This goes back a ways. But I wanted to act like I was giving a word to somebody that they didn't know that I knew about, so that it would sound like it was from God and was from me. You know? It was for me because I overheard something about somebody. Don't misuse the Word of God. You know, if you know something, tell them that you heard, or, you know, just pray for them in a way that they will get strength in something else. But I'm just saying that we need to realize when we're not in the Spirit. You know, we can love somebody, you know, we pray for people and we pray prophetically about things because that's what we want for them, not necessarily because it was the Spirit, you know. And I'm not saying it wasn't the Spirit. I'm just saying be careful when we pray. One of the benefits of knowing God is knowing truth. Knowing God brings clarity beyond our education and beyond the words of the Bible themselves. Pastor John spoke about this in his last message. He says it's about knowing the true intent of God's word so that we can speak it and apply it accurately without knowing the scriptures verbatim. You know, there's things that I can recognize that I can see right or wrong because of the Spirit living in me. I can understand things that are right or wrong. I can see things spiritually sometimes in a person's life. And it allows me to speak into their life and prophetically. But there is a clarity in understanding the law of God and what He wants for His people when you understand His word and you know and you have that deeper relationship with Him. It's like, you know, there's certain times when my wife does something and I can say, do you want me to go get this for you? And I know that's what she wants me to do because of my relationship. Clarity gives us the ability to grasp spiritual realities and not only apply, but to express those spiritual truths with confidence. You know, we become, when we know the Word and we know God and we have this relationship with God, we understand His heart. We understand the things that God wants. We can only do that by having that close relationship with Him. We can't make it up. In 1 Corinthians 2:2-4, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." And I spoke about this already, but this is just a scripture that kind of confirms the fact that we need to realize that when the words we're using are not manipulative. They're not trying to change somebody by our design, but the Holy Spirit by a simple message. This was a simple message delivered with humility, that Christ was crucified and He rose again. And it's a message of God's love for us. Peter and John were confident in the truth, and they were preaching and performing miracles in the temple courtyards, and they were taken into custody and questioned about by the Jewish religious leaders at the time, who wanted to know by what power they performed miracles. Peter didn't cower. How you deliver a message is as important as the message itself. But in Acts 4:8-12, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.'" The thing that I wanted to point out here is that you realize that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was able to deliver that message powerfully. As a matter of fact, the good part of that is actually in 4:13. It says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Unschooled, ordinary men. When we think we have to have an education to serve God, you do not. You will be more educated by the power of the Holy Spirit than any scholar on this earth. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. You know, that was kind of a trial for them. I would think that, you know, if you're being called in by the leadership, but they, because they knew God, were able to stand firm in a storm. When we are confident in God's word and have an intimate relationship with Him, we become stronger in faith and are capable of performing anything in God's will. The key thing here is in God's will. Sometimes we want to perform things and miracles that God has not ordained us to do or the Holy Spirit has not sent us to do. We just want to be good, faithful Christians, and we want to perform sometimes as good, faithful Christians. The Holy Spirit is the only way that performance works. Amen? In God's power, we become life changers. And in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence," and another word for eloquence is persuasiveness, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And I think what Paul is referring to is something that I kind of alluded to just a minute ago, was that performing for the sake of recognition. When people are enthralled with that, with the performance rather than the purpose of the message, then Christ crucified is diminished. And sometimes, you know, that's something that many churches do today, is that, and there are many churches that have great performances up on stage. They're great orators, and they, and you get so enthralled with the process of the orator that you kind of lose the message. The real message is kind of misplaced because we come for the entertainment rather than the Word of God. And Paul did not want to lessen the impact of the message of the cross by manipulation. And I want to conclude with this story. This is a story that was related by a Dr. John Wilson about a Frederick Booth Tucker who was involved years ago with the Salvation Army. Wilson tells the story that Booth Tucker was preaching in Chicago, and a man came up to him after his sermon and was really upset about his sermon. He was praising the virtues of Christ, and he said to him, "You talk like that about this Jesus, and he's dear to you, and you say he helps you, and he provides the needs of your life, but if your wife was dead like mine, and your little babies were crying for the mother like mine, a mother who would never come back, you wouldn't be standing up here saying what you're saying." A few days after that, Frederick Booth Tucker lost his wife in a train wreck. Her body was brought back to Chicago for a funeral, and Booth Tucker stood up after the funeral service and looked down into the silent face of his wife and his mother of his 9 children. This is what he said. "The other day when I was here, a man said, I couldn't say Christ was sufficient in my life if my wife were dead and my children were crying for their mother. If that man is here, I tell him that though my wife is gone and my children are motherless, Christ speaks comfort to me today." And Wilson said the man was there, and down the aisle he came, knelt by the casket, and gave his life to Christ. That's not something that could have been done with a man that did not know God. He changed a life. I'm sure he changed many lives, but in that instance, based on something that he had gone through in his life, he brought a man to Christ who was vehement, I guess, that Christ, God didn't know him. But by example, and that's what we are to be, by example, we change lives. We are their only hope. Can you get excited about being their only hope? Can you turn yourself on instead of turning yourself off by all the distractions of life? Can you get back into the Word and praying and covering and seeing the power of God work in your lives? We are called to do that, just that. God made us the blessing. If we are going to influence the lives of others, we need to strengthen our relationship with God, realize what He has done for us, use the benefits of knowing Him, and pay it forward. That's what God wants. Amen?
Amen.
And the prayer team come forward. All right. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to be the blessing to the world. Father, I pray that you strengthen every believer in this body, Father God, and even those across the country, Father, who are struggling with whatever changes, Father, the government wants to make, or even life in itself. Father, we are not here to do anything but to bring fruit and blessing to those whom you bring us to bless, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for that opportunity. And Father, we just ask that you open up our hearts. Father, take away our fears and our struggles of who we think we are. And Father, I pray that you replace who we think you are with who you made us to be. change our minds, our thoughts, and our thinking, Lord God, to follow you. And I pray that each and every person here, Father, pours their life more into the Word, and Father, more into connecting with you so that they can be effective in changing this world. We thank you, Lord God, for all things and all blessings. And we pray for this offering, Lord, or this prayer, Father, that each person that comes up, Lord, would just be blessed with the knowledge and wisdom, Father, that you give these prayer warriors to put into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.